Psalm 128, 1 to 6. First, let me give you a summary of what I'm going to say this morning. Let's go through so that even if I do not have time, you have an idea of what Psalm 128 is. Having read this, I have loved it very, very much. And I think I'm going to memorize it for myself in the days to come, because it is so good and so beautiful. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. First thing to note is there's a blessing for all God-fearing followers. It is addressed to everyone. So every one of you, whether you are a father or not a father, it does not matter. This is a promise by the Lord of blessing for you. So it is a promise generally to everyone. And everyone who is listening to me now has the word. Now this is a summary only. I will enlarge on it after this. It is also repeated in verse 4. That thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Now it is singled down to a personal standpoint. Every man. And that, of course, would include every woman and every girl or boy. Every person. Here is another promise. Promise that the Lord will bless you if you fear Him. And also, if you walk in His ways. And the Lord is very specific here. Very specific. Specifically. Right. And it is addressed to the father of the children. Because we read, thy children, like olive trees round about thy table. This is the second promise of blessing for the godly father. The children, like olive trees. For thou, please note the change of the pronoun. Verse 1, everyone. Now it says, thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Specifically pointing to one person. Thou. And then you will be blessed in your work. Profitable work, as well as God will bless you with a very good wife. A wife that will accompany you in all your work, in all that you do in your life. So these are the promises of God. If you are godly, if you fear the Lord and you walk in His ways, your work will be blessed. You have a wife who is very good to you, who will take care of you, who will be your partner. And then children, the prospective wins. When the child wins itself from the mother's breast and becomes independent, these are your children. And they will be blessed by the Lord too. And thirdly, there will be a promise of blessing for another group of people. Who are they? The grandfathers. The grandfathers. Thy children's children. It is so nice to see fathers bring their children to respect and to respond to their fathers. To see his progeny, his grandchildren. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. And to have, when the grandfather sees the grandchildren, he will have much peace and he will be prosperous in what he believes in his life on earth. And so this is a summary of what we can glean from Psalm 128 verses 1 to 6. Now, let me go into it in detail. So, number one, as pointed out to you just now, there is God's promise to those who are faithful, who fear Him, of the promise of Lord blessing the work of everyone. Promise generally to God-fearing followers. Everyone. How happy is everyone who fears the Lord? Now, just now we hear of somebody I read about fearing the Lord because of His judgment and so on. This fear has nothing to do with that kind of fear. It is not to be frightened. It is not to be afraid. It is a fear that has to do with reverence, with high respect for the person. So when we say that God promises this promise that we are going to consider later on to all God-fearing people, everyone, he means that these people are to fear him, to respect him, to regard him, and also to revere him. These are the people God has promised these blessings. But it is also promised, therefore, it is promised personally to those who really regard him as the one who is hallowed, the Father from heaven, he that feareth the Lord. Thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. And it is promised specifically to all that walketh in his ways. Now, it is not enough just to revere the Lord, to respect the Lord. How can we do that? How can we know how we can revere the Lord? Now, today we talk of worship. Many people are very keen on worship. Worship the Lord, worship this, worship that. But what is actually worship? How do we worship? Many people worship today in the way they think the Lord ought to be worshipped. Now, that is not worship. Worship must be in the way he tells us to worship, and not the way we think he ought to worship. And therefore, when we fear the Lord, we would know how to worship. How? By walking in his ways. How can we walk in his ways? When he says that in 3 John, that John himself said of the people to whom he wrote, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. To walk in his ways is to walk in truth. And what is to walk in truth? It is also to worship him in truth. What is truth? Truth can only be found in his word. Therefore, to walk in his way, you must know his word. To worship him, you must know his word. To walk in his way, you must walk in the way he shows you how to walk, where to walk. And to worship him, you must worship him in the way he wants to be worshipped and not your way. Today, we have many people gathered together in mass gatherings, perhaps even, to be entertained, to worship in the way that they feel, wow, they're very pleased, very happy. Now, that's not worship. Worship is to make God happy, to make God pleased, not to make ourselves pleased, not to be entertained by ourselves. And therefore, this promise that we are going to consider is given by God to everyone who feareth him, who regards him, respect him, who revere him, so that when he comes, they come into his presence, they know how to behave themselves and not be jumping about. And also to walk in his ways, to keep to the truth of God's word. So that is what is the promise, the people to whom he has made this promise that we are going to consider. So regard, respect, revere, to fear him. Read and ruminate his word, to walk in his steps, in his ways. Right. Now we come to be more specific. What is the promise of his blessing? Especially now, when this promise of the blessing is drawn down to one group of people, and they are the fathers. Note the change of the pronoun. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy children, like all the plants round about thy table. It is no more everyone. The everyone is the general group of people to whom the Lord is making the promise. Out of this general group of people, now God is singling out the fathers. Today is Father's Day. Singled out the fathers in order that the fathers may have this wonderful promise that the Lord is going to give. And what are the promises that he's going to give? The blessings of profitable work. That as he works, the Lord will give him the produce of his work. He shall eat the labor of his hands. Now, that's wonderful. the Lord will bless your work. I wonder today how many of us are doing the Lord's work. Now, when I say the Lord's work, it means what the Lord has called you to do. The work that you are doing is in keeping with the work He wants you to do. Or are you just interested in the work that you want to do because it brings in a lot of wealth, it brings in a lot of prestige, it brings a lot of security? Or are you being called to do the work that you are supposed to do? Now, today there is a lot of talk of even trying to do whatever you can for the work of the Lord. That's very good. But the more important point is to seek to do God's work from the very beginning, so that the work that you choose to be in is His work. Called to do His work, and right through your life, your work is His work. So that as we read the Lord Jesus Christ Himself declaring, My Father works and I work. Together, the Lord doing God's work. Together, I doing the work of God. And the work of God is my work, and my work is the work of God. Now, I have hardly done any personal testimony in my writings. But today, in a very special rumination, in my reflections for the week, I have sought to testify, give my testimony of how the Lord called me to work, to the work that I was doing as a teacher, and how He had blessed me throughout my 38 years of a teaching career. So, if you are interested, go to my website and download my rumination for today, and under the reflections of the week, you can read of this testimony. Ecclesiastes, we read, it is good, because beautiful, to eat and to drink, and to see good in all one's labor that he laboreth, that God had given to him, for it is his portion. Are you satisfied in the work that you are doing? Or are you going to work every day very, very disheartened, very discouraged, and very stressed? Do the work of the Lord in your work, and you will find that you will be greatly blessed. You will be happy because you are doing His work and not your work. Happy shalt thou be. And you will prosper. You will prosper. It may not be necessarily the prosperity of material wealth. It may not be necessarily the prosperity of a high status job. But the point is, where you are, because you know you are doing the Lord's work, you are secure, you are happy. Today, many people are not happy in their jobs. The important point is, at the very basic of it, at the basis of it all, is to know what God has called you to do. His work becomes your work, and your work is His work. Alright. Secondly, the second promise that God gives to the Father is a blessed wife. A blessed wife. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Now, of course, in that context, it would seem to be like your wife would bear many children for you. And with the many children, you'll be happy. But today's context and environment very often does not allow that. Many of us cannot afford to have many children. Your grandfather would have the many children, and you will be one of the many children. But I'm sure today you will not have many children. Whatever it is, we would like to look at it this way. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine, your wife will be very fruitful in partnering you, helping you. The fruitful vine that grows up the side of the house. Now, that's what it says in one version. But in another version, it's different, as I shall point out to you, that it may not be the vine that grows at the side of the house, it may be the vine that grows in the house. I'll explain that afterwards. Well, what is so important about this wife that the Lord is going to bless you with? Number one, note that she is a woman. And that is important, Because from the very beginning, when the woman was created and was brought to Adam, he said this: "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And that's how the man ought to treat the woman. And that's how the father ought to treat his wife. That she is part of him. She is his helpmate. She is part and parcel and the integral part of himself. So that we read, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." The two of them become one flesh. To work together, it is so great, so wonderful. When you work of the Lord, when you work the work of the Lord, and you have a wife who sees eye to eye with you, who does and helps you in all the ways that you are involved in, you are employed in, so that together you do the work of the Lord. When wife and husband see eye to eye in walking with the Lord, fearing the Lord, walking in his ways, then that will be a happy family and a happy couple. So remember, she is woman, she is the man's wife, and she is, as the man's wife, a picture of the living church. For we read in Ephesians 5:2, "Husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." You may read perhaps today that some people, especially women now, want freedom, want rights, they are equal with the husband, and so on. Now, this is not a matter of inequality of quality. This is a matter of playing out the roles that the Lord has laid down for the husband and the wife. For the wife, she is to submit because she is a picture of the church. The church must submit to Christ, the husband in picture form. And therefore, when the wife refuses to submit, the wife is giving the message that the church can refuse to submit to Christ the Lord. So this is a matter of roles, not equality or responsibility. This is a matter of she playing the role. Now, just as she plays the role, the husband must also play his role. "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." And so the husband must love the wife. Now, you know, it's easy for the wife to submit when the husband loves. When you are loved, you are prepared to submit. But when you do not love the wife, how can the wife submit? So it's very important the husband must play his role. Then the two of them will become one. "And the two shall be one, and for this cause shall man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife." And so you see the promise, the wonderful promise that God gives to the father, that he has the blessing of having productive work, he has the blessing of a good wife, and he has the blessing of good children. Oh, before I come to that, and one more thing about the wife, she is winsome. I need not have to elaborate further on the woman, as we find the virtues, the character and the good qualities of the woman in Proverbs 31. But let me elaborate on what is found in Psalm 128. We read that she is fruitful. "Your wife will be like a fruitful vine." Now, why the fruitful vine? Not, of course, in the context, as I pointed out earlier, it may be in the context of bearing many children. But here I would like to look at it as being fruitful in all that she does, productive, bearing fruit for the Lord. One very important fruit that the wife does as a mother to the children is she clusters the children together, just as the vine or the branch, more correctly, allows the grapes to grow as clusters. In other words, she collects the children together and she gathers them. She is the very center of their lives, so to speak. Now, today, whenever there's Mother's Day, my children will always pay tributes to my wife. And the first thing they remember is how the wife or how their mother always took care of them when they were young. That before she put them to sleep, she would pray with them, pray for them, and she would read a Bible story to them. And then that's how they grew up in their infant years. And today, all of them remember her for this. She clusters the grapes together. And she is a fruitful vine, because she is the branch, not the vine. And as the branch, she attaches the grapes to the vine. And the vine is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way the wife helps in bringing the children together to love the Lord is wonderful. So this is a blessing to the husband. Many of us, especially the fathers, cannot claim that the children are that close to us in that respect as compared to the mother. But we see the mother being a fruitful vine, collecting the children together and bring them together as one. And we read in Psalm 128 verse 3 in the New King James Version that actually it's not the grapes that are growing at the side of the house, but in the very same heart, in the very heart of your house. She is the one who brings the family together. Sometimes the father may not have time to do so, but she is the one who gathers. Or if you have a fruitful husband, a wife, a good wife, you are blessed, really blessed of the Lord. Finally, the third blessing to the husband, to the father. Not only the blessing of work, the blessing of a good wife, but the blessing of the winds. The children who have weaned themselves from the mother's breast and who have grown up and become big. And how are they likened? They are long-lived and ever-lively because they are like olive plants round about thy table. What is meant by that? You know, the olive plant or the olive tree is a tree that can last long, long years. Now, when I was in the Garden of Gethsemane, I was told that the olive trees in that garden, some of them were existing in the very time of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Hundreds of years old. And from this ancient tree, the root spread out. And when the root spread out, the new shoots will come out and new plants will come out from these roots. And therefore we read, the children around your table as fresh and promising as young olive shoots. From these roots of the old parent olive tree, there arise these shoots. And these shoots will bear the fruits which the vine, which the old tree cannot bear anymore. And so we find the continuation of blessing from the parents to the children. And I have here my children, not at my table, but on the wall. And I'm happy for them all because I can see them. They are my children and they are my grandchildren. Well, they grow up, and as many of them, they are not this size today. All of them have grown up. And they have become adults, and they are like arrows in a quiver. In Psalm 127 verse 4. Why arrows? Arrows are to be straight and sharp in order to be effective in the use of warfare. And when mothers and fathers bring up their children to be straight, to be fearful of the Lord, to walk in his ways, then they will be sharp and they will be used of the Lord for effective warfare, if I may use the word, in life, so that they, as they are challenged by the things of the world, they can stand firm for the Lord. Right, finally, we have the last blessing. Three blessings. the blessedness of God for everyone, the blessings for our godly father, and finally the blessings for the grandfather. Psalm 128. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children. The children's children would of course refer to the grandfather. The blessing of seeing progeny. You know, it's wonderful as a grandfather to see your children bringing their children to see you and to respect you and to love you and to have high regard for you. Children, you have a special responsibility to relate your children to your grandparents, because your parents bring you up. Now you must bring your children up to respect your grandparents, to love them and have high regard for them. And if this is so, there will be peace. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. And there will be heavenly prosperity. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, symbol of a heavenly Jerusalem. And there will be earthly prosperity. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem in the days of thy life. Oh, how happy it will be. What a great blessing. Today, if you fear the Lord and walk in his ways, as a father, you will find that, your children will be blessed, you have a good wife, and you will, all right, and I therefore, this is my family. And I'm taking the opportunity of having my family wishing you a blessed Father's Day. But it's not complete because my elder son is not here. They are in U.S., so I bring them in. And so you have my whole family wishing you blessed Father's Day today. To all of you, the Lord's blessings be with you. My people, keep ear, attend to my word. In parables, new deep truths shall be heard. The wonderful story our fathers made known to children succeeding by us must be shown. Instructing our sons, we gladly record the praises, the works, the mighty of the Lord. For he has commanded that which he had done be passed in tradition from fathers to son. And with that, I wish you all a blessed Father's Day, and to all fathers and grandfathers as well.
Clean feet, save the Lord. Those of you who are interested may always visit my website to get a copy of the PowerPoint slides as well as notes on what I've said. Thank you very much for listening. I hope it has benefited you all.